Tātai tikanga kupu, etymology. He whao he patu hoki ngā pukahahi mā te tipua arirorua. Ko tāna he whakairo paki, he tārai kōrero kia noho Māori mai i taku ariro, i taku hiningaro, āna he tipako kupu hei rawe ki tanga mana. He kohinga kianga e hopu ki nāna ki ngā rau whārangi. Engari, he kirituna tō te reo. E kore e tāia katoatia te mau. Ka hunanga atua i Wainganui ngā rerenga kōrero. He mea whakakākahu rātou ki ngā pū o reo ke atu. Ki ngā tohu tauhou. Ko whakāhua tia he tinana mō rātou anō ki te waituhi. Rangi, tāne, papa. He kupu, he ingoa. He tapu wai, he whai atu. He tapore e tohu nei i te ara whakamuri ki te takinga. He waka huia te kupu Māori. Ko ngā taonga o roto, he raukura huna, he whakapapa. So-called holy books are both tool and weapon for the two-tongued trickster. They render their tomes into familiar speech, extract word and phrase for experimentation, syntax and lexicon held hostage in paper leaves. But language wears eelskin and can slip from the firmest grasp. Old gods hide in plain sight on the page, clothe themselves in robes of Latin script, bending line and shape to form legible two-dimensional bodies. Rangi, tāne, papa. Printed in the trail that leads back to the source, each word is a waka huia, holding worlds, holding whakapapa. Some years ago, I completed a master's thesis in which I studied examples of late 19th and early 20th century writing in te reo Māori. Specifically, this research focused on translations of religious materials into te reo Māori and traced intellectual contributions from Māori translators and writers in the production of these texts. My initial interest in this subject sprung from a curiosity about how a world of foreign concepts, in this instance from Christianity, could be articulated in our language. I was interested in the connections, disconnections, tensions, adaptations, creations, co-options and corruptions, as well as the confluences between multiple languages and cultures, whether natural or contrived, and the choices made by translators regarding where and how to bridge these multiple worlds. The accompanying poem is a somewhat playful reflection on this study, aspects of which remained unexplored as the project developed in different directions over time. For example, the use of te reinga in early editions of Reo Māori scriptural translations offers a point of disconnection that also underpins the poem. In a physical sense, te reinga is located at the northernmost point of Te Ika Māui, identified in many kōrero tuku iho as the place where the wairua of our dead leap into the afterlife. In a non-physical sense, the name te reinga may also be used to refer to the afterlife itself. During funerary rites, orators delivering eulogistic kōrero may urge their dead on to te reinga, encouraging them to follow the various pathways to the tail of Maui's fish, and it is sometimes said that the wairua of relations gone before will receive the newly departed into the hereafter. Despite these near-reverent descriptions of te reinga from our traditional oral narratives, it was also the name used in early Reo Māori scriptures in both Te Paipira Tapu and Te Pukapuka Moromona as the translation for hell. Details about this translation choice were scarce in my research, though it felt important to interrogate this point further and consider why early missionaries would attempt to claim and distort a term like this, already so replete with spiritual meaning and weight. I use attempt here because the translation of hell as te reinga was later replaced in revised editions. In addition, the Reo Māori reference book He Pātaka Kupu, Te Kaia Te Rangatira, compiled and edited by Te Tauriwhiri I Te Reo Māori, includes the following comment under the entry, reinga. He reinga kāpura te reinga e ako nei te Pākehā ki te Māori. Ako te reinga te Māori I mōhiwai, he reinga ki anō. The reinga taught by Pākehā to Māori is a reinga of fire, and the reinga that was known before by Māori was different altogether. Words carry freight in the form of meaning, and perhaps the existing freight borne by this particular term left too little room for it to be successfully meddled with and co-opted for colonial objectives. Perhaps too many early Māori readers of this translation felt the same tension I did when reading it for the first time and were discontent with the extraction of word and phrase for experimentation. Throughout other phases of my research, while reading through the Māori scriptural translations, I was also regularly intrigued by the presence of words like rangi and papa in the text. Used in an everyday context to simply mean sky or even heaven and ground, their uppercase forms from which these lowercase renderings originate are of course names of the primordial parents Rangi Nui and Papatua Anuku, personifications of sky and earth, Atua. This piqued my interest because it was the explicit intention of European missionary translators to instill a belief and understanding of a new god and faith among Māori, while encouraging them to abandon their existing worldviews. Though because of the nature of our language, its structure, its inextricability from cultural paradigm, our atua Māori were always going to be on the page in some shape or form. You cannot talk about the sky, let alone an omniscient being who ostensibly resides there, without using the word name, rangi. Likewise, you cannot mention the ground on which we stand without papa. Even sermons on peace will eventually draw rongo from his kumaru pit. While equivalence is often utilized in translation for convenience, nuance is easily lost, especially over time, when words from one language are reduced to the meanings of their assigned counterparts from another. For this reason, I am usually hesitant to bring the words atua and God into close proximity with each other. However, the line in the English version of the poem, Old Gods Hide in Plain Sight on the Page, is used deliberately here with tongue-in-cheek. It is almost a taunt to those early translators who would have erased the cultural, philosophical, and ecological knowledge that comes with understanding our language, and by extension, our relationship with Atua Māori, the domains of the natural world. The freight that these words carry is whakapapa, a layered pathway that will always lead back to whakaaro Māori, a Māori way of looking at and making sense of the world.